Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we've got another sponsor to tell you about. Feel Supreme. They're a nationally recognised brand who offer only the very highest quality of natural supplements. Their extensive range includes a range of medicinal mushrooms, nootropics, anti-aging products, gut support products, green powders, vitamins, and much more.
Yep, they've worked with fighters from all the top promotions, including UFC, Bellator, Brave, and Cage Warriors, with a solid reputation of providing results. So check them out on Instagram, which is at @feel_supreme. Or their website, www.feelsupreme.co.uk, and make sure you use the code MMAFAN for a cool 15% off your first order. Don't say we don't spoil you.
Hello, and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu with Finn, sat opposite me, as ever, Blake Harrison. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Radiant and glowing. Thank you very much. Radiant and glowing.
Are you pregnant?
Yeah, I've got a very nice guy. Oh, do you know what? Like the shape of me at the moment, yeah, it's probably I should take a test. I mean, the reason I'm glowing this morning, hopefully it's not because I'm pregnant, it's because we got to catch up with Ian Garry again. And I know that the first episode was certainly one of your favourite episodes we've done to date.
And, definitely.
And it's a cracker. And so, you know, we reached out and we've got Ian back today. And of course, he doesn't disappoint, eh?
No, Ian's always a great chat. I mean, he still does another, it's not as much singing as before when he sung Grease Lightning, full voice. He does a little bit of singing in this one. There's all the chat that you want to hear about, you know, what's going on at Sanford MMA, why he chose that gym and the interactions he's having there and what he's enjoying about his time at Sanford MMA. A little bit about his amazing debut victory at Madison Square Garden just last week at UFC 268. Plans for the future. And of course, all the Skittles chat that you Obviously. Need to have. All the important Skittles chat. It's all there.
If you're confused as to what the hell Blake is talking about, then I would suggest that you go and listen to a full-length episode that we recorded a while ago with Ian Garry, where we find out all about his love of Skittles. Better still, go and follow us on Instagram or any of the social media platforms and watch the video at the Fighters Hotel post Ian winning the Cage Warriors belt, where Blake hands over some bags of Skittles to a very, very excited Ian Garry.
Absolutely, yeah, go and do that. And also, before we get on with the interview, just to let you know, after the interview, we will also be briefly chatting about this weekend's amazing card, Holloway Rodriguez. It was UFC Vegas 42, Holloway versus Rodriguez. And normally we wouldn't chat about non-kind of numbered pay-per-view events.
How can we not?
How could we not just briefly chat about that incredible fight that happened at the weekend? So don't switch off too quick. We've got our interview with Ian Garry coming up, and then we'll have our nice little chat about the Holloway-Rodriguez fight and what we think's in store for Holloway next. And, yeah.
Should we get on with it? Time for the future?
It's time for the future. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Ian, the future, Gary. Ian, Gary, how you doing, mate?
Hello.
Sorry, boys. How are we? We good?
Very good, very good. I mean, what an amazing, like, week and a bit or whatever it's been for you now. I mean, so your debut at MSG, you win by first round knockout. But the big question on everyone's lips, the big thing that everyone wants to know is, how many bags of Skittles did you eat after that win? What is happening? Like, you ask a simple question and he's just gone.
That's it. Amazing.
For those of you just listening to this, Ian Gary's just gone 1 second and just left. He's there. I'm just staring at an empty chair. Oh my Christ.
He's got a sack of Skittles.
It's like a Santa's sack of Skittles he's got there.
Look at that.
1.6 kilos.
1.6 kilos of Skittles. Jesus Christ.
I fucking love Skittles, mate. That's been sitting there for me waiting since I won a world title. Layla bought me that, and I didn't touch it then. And I came home and was like, Skittles! So there you go. That bag will be gone now by probably my birthday.
Lovely.
Perfect. Lovely. Perfect. Good to know.
Well, since we last saw you, which was at the Fighters Hotel after you got the world strap at Cage Warriors, where we gave you some Skittles from our backpack. But since then, mate, I mean, it's been a whirlwind, right?
Yeah, it's been quite hectic.
So many questions. So are you based in America now?
So, yes, we are going to be mainly based in America. Right now, we are home in Dublin. I'll be bouncing between here and the UK. But, yes, we will be based in Florida because that's what benefits my career. That's where the best place for me to be is to be at that gym and learn from the guys there. There's a lot of places I want to do. I'm kind of like a free spirit, so I want to learn from a lot of different places. I want to go to Brazil and learn Portuguese and do jiu-jitsu in Brazil. Layla can meet family, and I want to just enjoy that whole thing. I want to eat Brazilian food. So there's a lot of things I want to do. There's a lot of plans I have, and there's a lot that I'm excited about, and I'm looking forward to it all. So we'll be based out of the US from now.
So, I mean, you must have had your pick of so many gyms over there. You must have been thinking about what option was right for you. You've ended up at Sanford MMA in Florida. Why was Sanford the right choice for you? Because you probably could have gone to so many of the big gyms out in the States. What was it about Sanford that you went, that's the one for me?
So when I was looking at all the gyms, the first thing I did was look at top welterweight talents. Where is everyone? Where are the top welterweights in the world right now? Where are they all? And number two and number four is Gilbert Burns and Vicente Luque.
Yes.
Okay. So we've got number two and number four in the same gym. And then when you look deeper into it, they've got an elite roster of welterweight talent. They've got insane middleweights, Derek Brunson, Brandon Allen, Phil Hawes, like it just goes on and on and on. So it's like, right, I've got an elite level of guys at welterweight, an elite level at lightweight, elite level at middleweight. It's like, they're the guys I'm going to be training with. That's insane. Then you look at the coaches, right? You've got Henry Hoof. Everyone knows how good Henry is in regards to striking and the coaching that he's had, how many world champions he's created and that he's been a part of. It can't not go right with me and Henry and the guys striking and learning so much. And then it's like, right, Greg Jones, who is, before I was even in Sanford, I was hearing about Greg Jones and wrestling when I was in Vegas and stuff, about how good of a wrestling coach he is. He's the shit. And I looked him up and I was like, wow, okay, everyone's talking about this guy, Greg Jones. And I'm like, right, insane. So I can go there and learn, get elite level wrestling, work on my striking. And then not only that, it's like, They've got Gilbert Burns for jiu-jitsu to learn off. There's Wagner Rocha, who is insane. And that's where I can't wait to go back to and do some more jiu-jitsu and learn off Wagner and take everything in. It's like everything there is set up for success. And that's why I chose that. And also the fact that it's in Florida and it's sunny all the time. Like, massive benefit. Like, and the fact that it's got 1,250 golf courses.
I was going to ask.
Knew that was coming. Say,
how much of it is actually down to the golf courses, though?
I didn't actually get to play a lot of golf when I was there because I was so busy. But I tell you what, when I go back, I'm going to absolutely destroy the golf courses. I'm going to take advantage of every single opportunity. When I go back next time, I want to focus more on improving and learning and growing my skill set as opposed to just fight camp. So I'm going to kind of take an approach of less activity, less like sparring, and I just want to work on stuff, and then last 8 weeks I'll get into my sparring because I'm always fit. I'll never ever ever not be fit. Like, I've got cardio for days, I've got the skill set, I just want to work on stuff. So when I do that, I'll be doing strength and conditioning and then technical stuff. I'll play golf probably every morning. That's what I'll try to do. I'll try to get up every morning, play some golf. I'll join a nice golf course, and I'll play every morning. I'll get used to it, and I'll start smashing the handicap down.
Oh man, that sounds awesome. I mean, you've listed so many fantastic fighters that are there, say Luque, Burns, Derek Brunson, Michael Chandler's there as well, people like that. What's the interactions been like with these guys, especially the first time? Did you ever, I mean, I wouldn't say the word starstruck, because I know that you're a very confident guy, but did you have moments of like, Jesus, I'm rolling with Burns, or I'm sparring with Chandler, or anything like that?
Yeah, there was a point at which I was like, I'm trying to toehold Gilbert Burns, and I just started laughing. He started laughing at me. I started laughing at him. Point at which we were doing kickboxing, and I jabbed him in the face, and he just smiled at me, and I'm like, oh, he looks like he's going to take me down. Like, even the fact that I was like, a lot of people, when I shared the video of me and Mike wrestling against the wall, everyone was like, oh my God, that's insane. Of course it's insane. I'm a fight fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I see these guys. The fact that I was like playing southpaw for Derek Brunson a week or two leading up to his fight with Till, it was like, there's madness. And like, I'm seeing all these guys, and like even the fact that like DB texted me after, Brunson texted me after, and was like, oh, take it slow, kid. Like, you're in no rush. You're going to be like, you're going to get there. I'm like, yeah, all right. It's just cool to see this. Like, it's really, really cool.
That's so awesome, man. It's quite heartwarming as well. These guys that, you know, for us as fight fans, that will probably, you know, we interviewed Derek and he was such a lovely, lovely bloke. But like, for you to be looking up to these guys and actually then having the opportunities to spar and roll and learn from them and hear that they are just like nice guys that are backing you. You've only been in the gym a little bit and they're, you know, they're not being like necessarily wary of you. They're embracing you and they're bringing you into that Sanford family or whatever. That's a lovely thing to hear.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really, really, really nice to kind of have that vibe. And like, when you think about going to a super gym, you could think, right, these could all be like pricks. You could think, like, say, like, oh, here, we've got egos everywhere. So imagine putting 100 me's in a room. So, I mean, think about it. That's what you got to think about. It's potentially having like there's 45 elite professional athletes on the mats every day. Like, that's the number we're dealing with. It's a joke. And everyone's got their ego. Everyone wants attention. Everyone's best. But you know what the best part about it is? Everybody knows. Everybody knows that everyone's got an ego. Everyone knows that we're all elite level. Like, the coaches, one of the first days I was there, Henry sat us down, Greg sat us down, and Nick sat us down. So all the coaches, all the fighters sat down. They were like, we just want to talk to you for a minute. So we all sat down, and I think it was Henry that spoke. Or maybe, I don't know. I think it was Greg. Doesn't matter anyway, that's irrelevant. It was one of the main, all the coaches there, all the fighters sat down, and I said, look, there's 45 guys on the mat today, 45 elite professional athletes. There's three coaches. It's not possible for us to all give you the time and the one-on-one you want. We've got to deal with everyone. He's like, when you come down here, we'll be here early. We'll come down an hour early, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you want to do extra stuff, if you want to ask questions, we will be here late at night on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We will put in the extra work. If you want to come get us, you want to reach out to us. Don't sit here and say that you want more work done and then not show up to an hour earlier than the class. It was like, we understand that people want to spend more time improving, but you've got to be willing to improve. You've got to get up that hour. You've got to stay that hour longer. He's like, we can help you so much, but also you've got teammates. You're surrounded by the best of the best. Learn from them. If you want to learn wrestling, talk to Derek or Logan, or talk to Phil, or talk to anyone, whoever it is. If you want to learn jiu-jitsu, ask Gilbert. If you want to learn striking, ask any of the guys that are on the mat. It's like, just go and talk to people. It's like, learn. We've got, it's a constant conveyor belt of guys fighting. Every weekend there's guys fighting. Every weekend. It's elite. It's literally like UFC, 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 the odd Bellator, the odd Bellator. It's like, they, like the lads, the coaches are literally, they're nonstop. And the fact that, like, they understand the dynamic of, we want to give everyone attention, but we can't. So the guys that are fighting, they're the number one. Everyone else takes this little step back. And I like that attitude. It's like, the guys who are fighting deserve the more attention, because they're going to come up. And that just means that when someone else gets a fight booked, they get the attention. They get to learn more. And it's look, I like the way everything's done in the gym. I'm excited to go back. I'm excited to learn more. I'm excited to grow. And it's just, yeah, dude, it's cool.
And talking of, you know, attention and new experiences. So when we last spoke to you on the podcast, we asked you about, you know, your mindset when you walk out to go into the octagon. And it was full of confidence and stuff. And then you've had an upgrade. You walk out to fucking Madison Square Garden. I mean, just talk us through that, the process just before you walked out and walking out. What was going on in your head? And just try and put that into words, that moment.
Fucking badass. It was badass. I was so confident and so happy and so excited. I like, even the fact that I was in like the Venom gear, I was like dressed up like I see all the guys. I had my hoodie and trackies on, and like, all right, let's go out, let's enjoy this, stay warm. I'm like, I was just like strutting my stuff, bit of swag. I'm like, all right, like, we were walking out the back, so like they brought us from the changing room just out to the kind of holding area. Jordan walks out. And then the entourage that was with me, like, it was about 18 people standing around me. Like, I'm like, all right, here we go. And I'm just like having a little home, a little dance to Jordan's song, waiting. And then I just hear, bow. And I'm like, yes, here we go. And it's like, I'm up a bit on the string. I'm like, go. And it was just like, just enjoy every second. I hear all the crowd. I'm like, yeah. I had a snapback hat, and I was like, I signed it and just threw it up to the audience, because like, I can't wear a snapback. Here you go, give that some. I was like, why not? I was like, but like, I was so excited and so ready for that.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it was just, the experience was insane. And I just walked into the cage. I'd done my little look. I looked at Joe. I looked at John. I looked at DC. I was like, here we go. Remember this. gave Jordan a little fist bump, and I was like, whew, we're in the UFC cage, right, in Madison Square Garden. I've just walked out, and it's my UFC debut. Holy fuck, what the fuck is happening? Oh, all right, okay, this is happening, this is real. Like, slapped myself, wake up. Took me about 2 minutes to wake up, but yeah, it is what it is. At the end of the day, you got slapped, and that's what's going to happen to everybody else.
That's amazing, though, man. I mean, just, but also, it's because you've spoken so openly about, like, I'll never get nervous, I'll never have any of these things. But just even that little small thing of going, oh, fuck, because you're human.
Yeah,
it's your UFC debut, something you've been working towards for such a long part of your life. I mean, it's such a big thing, making that UFC debut. And to do it at Madison Square Garden. And the other thing is, I know you've done a lot of interviews, which is why we're really thankful for your time today. But like, you've done a lot of interviews leading up to the fight, and a little bit post-fight as well, but leading up to the fight. And everyone has been saying the same thing, Madison Square Garden, Madison Square Garden, Madison Square Garden. That's going to get in your head. It's amazing you dealt with it the way you did.
None of it. Like, when I mean, like, I was, like, uber confident the entire walkout, getting changed, everything. The moment it hit me when I was like, oh shit, this is happening, was when Bruce Buffer turned around to me, and in the red corner, it's like, he is an undefeated fighter. And I'm like, I look up on the venue changes color. So it goes blue when they're talking about the blue corner, it goes red. And I look up at the screens, the three screens on the tiers, and it's just like, the future, Ian Garry, UFC 268, Madison Square Garden. I'm like, ah, this is happening. Bruce Buffer's announcing me. What the fuck is going on? I'm like, all right, wow, okay. And from that moment on, it was more just like, if you watch the fight back, right, watch it back, there's a little, just before I was like, wow, this is insane. But yeah, it was just really, like, it's a dream come true. That was my dream. My dream, I've said this before, and people kind of go, huh? My dream was never to be a UFC champion. It's to be a UFC fighter. Making that UFC debut means I've completed that dream. And that was it. I'm standing at the moment going, wow, I'm just a little kid who dreamt of being here, and this is happening. I'm like, whoa, okay. So for 2 minutes, I wasn't right. For the next 2.5, I was back on track and I sparked them. Do you know what I mean? It was just a surreal experience. And now I get to change the dream from being a UFC fighter to being a UFC champion. Now the dream changes. Do you know what I mean? I've reached one. You know when they say, like, if you can reach your dreams and you're not dreaming, like, big enough, now we've got to go change it again. So here's the dream. I completed being a UFC fighter. Completed, mate. Done. UFC champion. Professional golfer. Boom. Let's go.
I'm also interested to know that obviously you get the incredible finish. You know, you deliver an amazing speech and then you're back out the back. What did you do then? Like, was it all press, or what? Did you get to watch the other fights? Did you come back out? You know, because there were some amazing fights as well on that card. Did you get to experience any of the action?
I was non-stop for about 2 hours.
Really?
Talking to me. Obviously, you have to get the medical straight after. Straight after the fight, they brought me straight to Dana. And they brought me into his little room where he was with his friends or his VIPs or whoever it was. They brought me over to him. So it was nice to kind of finally shake hands. Obviously, I shake his hand at the weigh-ins, but actually speak to him, and it was like, and he just seemed so happy and excited. I'm like, hey, look, it happened once before, it's gonna happen again, mate. And he's just like, he seemed so in on it, and he was so excited. So that was really nice. But yeah, it was just flat out, mate, for 2 hours, just non-stop. And yeah, I just kind of, it all felt a little bit rushed, nearly. It was like next. I enjoyed every second of it. Can we just take a moment and speak about how fucking good I am on the mic?
Okay, yeah, we can
do that.
Can we? That wasn't planned. Can we just sit here and stroke my ego a little bit? How good was that?
It was amazing, mate. I mean, it almost felt like, not in delivery, it felt very natural, but the content felt pre-prepared because it was, you know, the whole takeover part two, all that kind of stuff. And also you've had Connor sort of reach out to you now since as well. And there was that lovely moment that they put up on the broadcast as well of that picture of when you were very, very young. Alongside when you met him, I don't know how old you were. You look like you're about 12, but I don't know how old you really were. You were 15 years old.
I still look like I'm about 12 now, unless I get some abs and a little bit of chest hair action in it. You know what I mean? Still, I'm about 12. 15, 16.
Yeah, so but that, and that was amazing as well to have that moment put on the broadcast as well, and then. Yeah, it was phenomenal. The only thing that's ever missing from people when they get on the mic and they don't do it, and I as a fan want to see it, and I think you're going to know what I'm going to say, it's a call-out. Why was there no call-out?
Oh, I thought you were going to say a full rendition of Grease Lightning by Ian Garry. That's what I thought.
That's the only person I'd like to find that visits Nate Diaz. They're not going to give me Diaz.
No, they're not. They're not. I mean, especially he's got like one fight left on his contract. So you never know, actually.
They will give me, the UFC will give me whoever they decide to give me. I will sign a contract, say yes, say here you go. Thank you. I will see you at that date. Be ready because I'm going to take over again. I'm going to steal the show. Everything is going to be perfect. Let's turn the cat on. So yeah, everything's insane. And I'm just, I'm looking forward to every single time that I step in. I don't like calling people out. I'm the hype. Call me out. Let's see.
Makes sense. But no, it was a brilliant, you kind of smashed every bit of it. All the interviews leading up, the fight itself, you got a knockout in round one. What more can you ask for? And then the post-fight interview was cracking as well, mate. You did. You absolutely smashed it. You did exactly what you said you were going to do.
UFC debut, completed it, mate.
That's it. We would have liked to have seen a rendition of Grease Lightning, as Stu said. Obviously. That would have been lovely like last time. But we've had a bit of Arctic Monkeys this time. We had Grease Lightning before. Maybe next time in a post-fight interview, you go full Tyson Fury and just start singing a rendition of something. That'd be great.
Maybe one day when we've reached that level.
But I mean, like, we know what the long-term goal is. The long-term goal, as you said, you want to be UFC champion, which makes perfect sense. Do you set yourself any short-term goals? Is there anything you go, I want to achieve this in 6 months or this by this time next year?
No, I just want to be happy, love my missus, play some golf, and then just enjoy everything we're doing. That's all it's about. Do you know what I mean? I mean, if you want to talk about that, like, just being happy, just enjoying every day, because we don't know when the fucking last is going to be.
True. Absolutely,
Mark. I mean, that's an absolutely perfect place to finish. We know we've got limited time with you, and you've been super generous, Ian, to give us plenty of time today. Mate, thanks so much for coming back on, and it's been an absolute joy watching your debut, and can't wait to see where it's going to go, man.
Me too. I can't wait to see what they're going to do next. we'll figure it out. I'm excited. Lads, I love you, and I appreciate the time. It means a lot, and look, hopefully we'll get you over to that. You'll be able to come over and see the next one live, and we'll be able to catch up.
Oh, that'd be incredible, man.
And if it's Vegas, I want Vegas. Vegas?
Yeah. I've been to Vegas, but not for a fight. I would love to go.
So let's make it happen. Let's come over, right. Then we'll meet up after.
Yeah, that sounds perfect to me, man. Let's do it.
Right.
We'll go and catch a Cirque du Soleil show. It'll be lovely.
Have a round of golf.
Yeah. Right, go on. I love you to leave you.
All the best. Take thanks, easy, mate. And thanks, Layla. Cheers.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Ian, the future Garry, back on the show. And God, what a lovely chat, as always, with Ian. Lovely, lovely chat.
As always. Did you know what? That fella, he lacks charisma. he needs a bit more charisma.
God, it's like getting blood out of stone, isn't it? Is it? No, it's
oh, what a dude.
What is such an easy chat. It's just such a nice bloke to chat to. He's someone that, like, you would love to go for a drink with Ian Garry, or some Skittles with Ian Garry.
Yeah.
But again, just like, he's got that confidence and he talks a talk, but he does it in such an endearing way. It's like, I've said this before, it's not overly brash or like in your face. It's quite charming with it. And I think that really you know, that makes you want to root for him. I think he's a great guy, and I think he's very, very talented. But he's intelligent as well. He knows he's talking about taking it slow, and he listed the reasons for going to Sanford MMA, the fact that he'd be training with the best welterweights in the world. That all makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we have got no exclusives on what Ian's next move's going to be in the UFC. But as he said, you know, he's not in the habit of sort of calling people out, you know, whoever Dana, you know, lines up for him. He said he'll sign it, and it'll all be part of the second takeover. I guess before we sort of wrap this episode up, it's ridiculous for us not to comment on this weekend's fights that have just gone, right?
Oh my God, we have to. I mean, this has been nuts. The last like 3 weeks or so, UFC 267 was great. UFC 268 was absolutely mental when you think about that Chris Barnett spinning wheel kick and Ian Garry's debut win. Chandler Gaethje, what a phenomenal fight that was. And then Rose and Usman as well. I mean, even the Shane Burgos Quarantillo fight was good, but it just came after what's possibly fight of the year between Gaethje and Chandler. And now we're recording this on Monday morning. Saturday night was Yair Rodriguez and Max Holloway. Jesus Christ, what a fight.
I don't know who tweeted it, but it was like, I think in the last 3 weeks I've tweeted that was the greatest fight I've ever seen, like however many times, because it was like last week I was like, Gaethje Chandler, that's one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. And then Max Yair at the weekend was insane.
It was fantastic. I mean, I couldn't give you I was actually at a UFC pop-up event in East London watching it with the big screen and just
drop that in.
Just drop that in. You were invited. You couldn't make it.
I know. I had to go to work. Yeah. You know, had to pay the bills. Yeah. You know.
But
you was there rubbing shoulders with Arnold Allen.
Oh, I had a lovely. Speaking of rubbing shoulders with Arnold Allen, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I did give Arnold a hug just to say hello. The man is made of stone. That his back was ridiculous. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. He probably hugged me and thought he would snap me in two. It was like his back was unbelievable. It was like made of granite.
I can't believe how excited you are about this, because when I asked it, oh, how was Saturday night? The first thing you mentioned was Arnold Allen's back.
You're not supposed to say that now. Now it's really weird. Now that I've said it twice, it's really weird.
It was so hard, man. It was like, it was like a bold.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I'm having a hot flush. No, but it was, though. He's clearly keeping, like, I know he's got a hand injury, but he's clearly keeping really in shape. I mean, he was just solid, absolutely solid. But the loveliest guy, just lovely to chat to and everything. I'm sure he had a really good eye on that fight as well. But,
God,
I mean, Jesus, what an amazing fight all round. I mean, I did score it for Max, but Yair, consider 2 years out of the cage, 2 years he's not had a fight, and he comes back and does that against, I mean, I'm always a Volkanovski guy. I think Volkanovski won that first fight very comfortably. Second fight, I know, was very, very close, but I'd have to go back and rewatch it to have a really good idea of it. But I think of Volkanovski as the best featherweight, but Max Holloway is right there with him. And for Yair to have had 2 years out and then have that type of performance against Max Holloway, I think is pretty impressive in itself. So I'm sure Yair, as long as he's not too injured, I know his foot was really blown up. Do you see his foot?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, his foot looked bad. So hopefully that looks worse than what it actually is and he can get back in there, you know, in a not too distant future. Because that's a guy that could fight for a title easy. Easy, he could fight 100%. For a title in the future. 100%. Very exciting fighter as well. Fan favourite. And then what can you say about Max Holloway? He's just, the chin on him is unbelievable. He always can take a shot, but his boxing is so good. He mixed up takedowns in this as well, which you don't see very often from Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really amazing.
I think maybe was it the first two rounds was pretty much stand-up, and it was like watching just some incredible, you know, Muay Thai K1. It was remarkable. And one of the things that I loved, you know, I know that you put the post up on the socials of Gaethje and Chandler and Yair and him there, like post fight. Have you seen the video Yair's in the ambulance and Max gets in? Like, man, that's what it's about, isn't it? You know, it's just like ultimate respect. And you know, I've seen, like, Dana, I presume you have as well, has said that it's happened twice already, but Max deserves that shot.
Yeah,
like, you know, what else is there for him? Yeah. Like, it's got to be. I know. I don't know. It feels like Connor's calling everyone out at the moment.
Did you see?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The thing of him walking, where, like, Max is on these TV screen and he's pacing as if he's opposite him and then walks forward as if he's facing off with him.
I need to see this.
Either they stopped pressing record and Connor's turned round and, like, was giggling loads and just, like, found it really funny because he was just mucking about. If he wasn't, then I think he's gone mad. I think he might have gone mad. I'm sure that they just pressed stop and then he turned around and laughed because it was kind of funny. But if he didn't, then he snapped because he was topless, walking back and forth, like pacing as if he's opposite Max Holloway in the cage. And then when Max Holloway walks forward, he walks towards the TV screen. It's just hyping up a potential fight between them. People would definitely be interested. I think Max would be the firm favourite going into that fight, although having
100%.
Although you know that Connor always gets loads of people backing him, but I think Max would be the firm favourite in that fight. But Jesus Christ, I mean, I'd watch it. I'd watch Max v Connor, no problems, because it would be predominantly a boxing match, which is Connor's strong point.
Yeah, I suppose, but. You know, I think Connor's, he's got to fight Usman first, and then he's got to fight, I'm trying to think who else he's called at. Like, I guess it makes for some interesting bits and pieces on social media. For me, you know, I agree with you, Volk's the best. And, you know, I'm interested to see in the time since that last Holloway fight, how much, you know, we've seen how much Volk's improved as well for the Ortega fight. And then, like, what are we going to see next? You know, like, how much better has he got? Obviously, we can see that Max is improving fight on fight as well. So I think we would get an incredible scrap.
Yeah, you would. I mean, you could almost do, like, let's just sign up now for, like, a best of five series. Let's sign up for a best of five series. So if Volk wins the next match, then it's game over. It's done. He's beaten three times. But if Holloway wins, they have to do it at least two more times. Best of five series. I know that the featherweight division is stacked with talent and it would cause a really bad logjam, but I don't care. When do you ever get a situation where two guys in a division are the two best and are so evenly matched? Like, a lot of people have been saying for a long time now that Adesanya and Whittaker are, like, you know, one and two, and no one else is really near them. But the first fight was so clear that Adesanya won that it's like, it's one and two. It's not like 1A and 1B or anything like that. It's one and two. But with Volk and Holloway, the first fight, I think Volk clearly won, but it was still a good, close-ish fight, but Volk clearly won that fight. Second fight, I can't even remember the details of it. I just remember thinking, geez, this is super close. And a lot of Americans in particular were upset that that Volk got the decision, but I think that's more because they're big Holloway fans rather than being, you know, objective about the fight. But for sure, if they have another fight, it's going to be close. Either way, it's going to be close. And I would happily see it a few more times. I think it'd be great.
Just look at both of their last fights. Both of their last fights. Not the Holloway Volk fights, but obviously the Ortega fight and this weekend's fight. If you ever need any kind of footage to put together some hype, look at them last two fights. They're insane wars.
They are.
And both of them never take a backward step. No. Like, it's, I'm up for it three times. I'm up for it five times. Let's make that happen.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, and again, props to Max Holloway. He came out with a phrase recently called elevator divas when he's referring to fighters that are just holding onto their spot and not wanting to take a fight unless they're going up in the rankings and stuff like that. Holloway's there, the clear number one contender. And some would say, not me, but some would say that he's, you know, beat Volk in the last one, so he's technically the champ and blah, blah, blah. For me, he's the number one contender, but by a clear stretch. And he still went out and fought Calvin Kattar. Then he's gone out and fought Yair Rodriguez. He's not waiting around. He's not holding on to his spot. He's going, yeah, I'm the best. And I'm going to prove it. And that is the type of attitude you go, yeah, love it. Absolutely love that. Yeah. And he's really putting on performances like that Kattar fight and now the Rodriguez fight. They're top, top performances. So, yeah, I think give him whatever he wants. If he really wants to fight Conor and that's available, let him do it. If he wants to go up to 155 and fight, you know, a Gaethje or a whoever, let him do it. I think he might have a win over Charles Oliveira, so that's interesting as well. But my pick would be let him fight Volk. And if Volk wins, maybe Holloway then has to step up to 155 so that he can actually go and pursue like a title opportunity and stuff like that. But if Holloway wins, best of five series. Why not? Yeah. Unless Holloway somehow wins and takes very little damage and Volk took damage and he needed time off, then you could do Holloway versus maybe a Giga Chikadze if he beats Kattar, or hopefully an Arnold Allen or something like that if he can get a fight or two in down the line. But I would be happy to have these two have a best of five series or something like that, because they are so elite and all the fights are great between them.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else we want to touch on that card?
Well, I think we'd probably be remiss not to mention, I don't want to comment on it too much, I don't know too much about it, but in the Ben Rothwell fight, Herb Dean had a bit of a moment, didn't he? And it's not the first time he's done something like this. I don't want to pile on him. I think a lot of people are piling on him at the moment. Some of it, I think, is probably understandable, but he did have that moment where he goes and sort of stops De Lima, and I think De Lima said he shouted stop, stop, but then he seemed to step back as if like, oh, maybe he made a mistake because it looked like Rothwell was going for a takedown. And then De Lima ends up kind of slightly falling on top of Rothwell and looking over at Herb Dean as if to say, mate, what's happening? Have you stopped this or not? Because I'm going to punch him if you haven't, and you kind of already have, so what's happening? And then Herb Dean's like, oh, yeah, no, I've stopped it. And it was just it was a bit strange. One thing I would say is that I do think the fight was right to be stopped there. I don't think it was too early a stoppage or anything. Oh,
he took a lot of shots, big shots, and
so
the damage was done.
Yeah, I agree. So it was the right stoppage. It was just done in a weird way. So, you know, no one did take any unnecessary punishment, which is not what you would necessarily say about the Jai Herbert-Trinaldo fight from way back when Dan Hardy was the one shouting, stop the fight and stuff like that. Which, again, I agree with Dan. I think that was maybe a late stoppage.
Definitely.
But I don't know. It's something that, you know, I don't want to pile on Herb Dean. There's a lot of refs out there that maybe could improve certain things. But also, they're all human. They're not going to be 100% correct all of the time. That's impossible to do. There's human error. But, yeah, it's slightly concerning when we feel like we've seen Herb have a few of these occasions now. And look, I'm not saying that he's not still got the opportunity to be a really great ref, but maybe he needs to just, I don't know, reevaluate a little bit or something. I don't know. I don't know what the situation would be. Mark Goddard would be the one to talk to about that kind of stuff and what is going on and what refs need to constantly focus on and improve on, or where maybe refs get a bit older, they deteriorate in one place and they need to do something to keep the momentum going. I don't know. But there's a lot of chat about Herb Dean at the moment. A lot of it does seem to be justified. Some of it is not justified, but a lot of it does seem to be justified. So I hope that whatever's going on with Herb gets sorted out, because obviously it's not just about the result. It's about these fighters' long-term health safety. And safety. Exactly. So, yeah, let's hope that gets sorted out.
Absolutely. Well, we should also point out we've got some amazing guests booked up. So you've got some good stuff coming very, very soon. In the meantime, if you've just tuned in to listen to Ian Garry and it's your first time listening to this podcast, have a rumble around in our archives, because we've got a full-length episode with Ian Garry just before he fought for the world title in Cage Warriors. And we've got a who's who of MMA in our back catalogue. So go and have a look. I mean, we've just been talking about Volkanovski. You can listen to Blake and I talking to Volk. That's a great chat. You can hear us talking to Tyron Woodley. Mark Goddard, who we've spoken about. We've got an amazing episode with Mark Goddard, really sort of breaking down that side of the sport. And also, again, the aforementioned Dan Hardy, one of my favourite episodes is our chat with Dan. As any fight fan knows, you know, Dan's fight mind is absolutely incredible, and we delve deep into it on that episode. I mean, all I'll say is just go and, you know, have a good look about in the archives, because there's over 50 episodes now and there's some absolute crackers in there, and some more good stuff to come as well.
Absolutely, yep, loads more good stuff to come. So stay subscribed, stay tuned, or whatever it would be, and we'll see you next time.
Let's do that. Bye-bye.
Bye.